For decades, people assumed the ivory-billed woodpecker was extinct. The last confirmed sighting was in North Louisiana in the 1940s. But rumors of its existence persisted, giving the bird a controversial reputation and a kind of mythic status. Now a ragtag team of birders is trying to prove everyone wrong, that the ivory bill does still exist, and thanks to some new technology, the team thinks they're closer than ever before. WWNO's Travis Lux has the story.
A few years ago, Frank Wiley and Mark Michaels lead me down a wooded trail somewhere in Louisiana. I can't tell you exactly where, because they don't want a bunch of people coming here and scaring off the bird they're looking for. But what I can tell you is it's a forest somewhere in Louisiana. We get to a tree with a camouflage trail camera strapped to it. Frank pops the memory card out of the trail cam and throws it in his pocket.
This card is just burning a hole in my pocket right now. I want to solve the mystery, and we finally have a chance of solving it.
The camera is pointed at a dead branch on the ground. The bark has been peeled off in big chunks. And the mystery is what kind of critter shaved the bark away. Frank and Mark think it was an ivory-billed woodpecker, a big black-and-white bird with a cream-colored beak. If they're right, if it's an ivory bill, it's going to be a really big deal, because many people insist that the ivory bill is extinct. Frank is itching to check out the photos, so he suggests we cut the day short and head back to his house to review the footage. Mark Michaels agrees.
But we got to figure out what our plan of action is if this shows what we hope it shows.
On the walk back to the car, they talk about what they'll need to do next. Draft a statement, contact state and federal authorities. If they can show the ivory bill is still alive, they'll have proved a lot of people wrong. On the surface, Frank and Mark really don't have much in common. Mark is a former lawyer. Frank never got a college degree. Mark is a New York liberal. Frank calls himself a Louisiana libertarian. Mark is cautious and chooses his words carefully, and Frank kind of shoots from the hip. But what they do share is a passion for this bird, for finding it, and for beating the odds.
I can't deny that's a big part of it. It's just part of who I am.
You know, I mean, to do something that even major universities with all their resources haven't been able to do is, you know, who wouldn't like to be able to do something like that?
There have been a lot of ivory bill sightings reported across the South for decades now, including in Louisiana. But in all that time, no one's been able to get a definitive photo.
I think that if we can document the ivory bill, it's going to change the shape of conservation in the South.
Mark hopes that if he and Frank can get that definitive photo, they can fight to preserve habitat and help save the species.
And the more forests that can support ivory bills, the better for all the animals.
Woodpeckers, like the ivory bill, are really important members of their habitat. Jerry Jackson is an ornithologist and a woodpecker expert, now retired from Florida Gulf Coast University.
Without woodpeckers, we would probably have a lot more insect outbreaks that destroy trees and destroy our homes and anything else that's made of wood.
Jackson says they're also kind of like the home builders of the forest. The holes that they carve into the trees for their nests are also used by other birds. So they're kind of like community architects and community exterminators. And for Frank, who's from Louisiana, the ivory bill is symbolic.
It's a symbol of what the southeastern woods were before the white man got involved. To be part of proving that the bird still exists, perhaps in some way will give the human race a little bit of redemption for what we've done to the forests.
Frank and Mark have been searching for the ivory bill for years now, dressing in camo, hiking into the woods, sitting, looking, and listening. They've got trail cams placed at strategic locations, and they've honed in on certain clues, like the way that the bark is scaled from the trees.
And I think we're really, really close to success.
All things considered, we really don't know all that much about the ivory bill. We know that it was found across the South from East Texas and Florida up to Missouri and North Carolina, mostly in bottomland forests full of cypress and tupelo and sweetgum trees. It was the biggest woodpecker in North America. For scale, that's definitely smaller than an eagle, but a little bit bigger than a crow. Mark Michaels loves the way that it looks.
It's breathtaking. The size, the claws are enormous, the bill is enormous. It's just, it looks almost like a mythical creature.
We know that its favorite food was the beetle larva that lived under the bark of dead trees, and that it used its ivory-colored bill to shave away chunks of that tree bark to get to them. There aren't that many audio recordings of the ivory bill out there, but one of the only definitive ones was made in Louisiana in 1935 by researchers from Cornell University. They came to the state to document the bird before it disappeared. There's an old black-and-white photo of those two researchers. In it, they're sitting in a wooden carriage surrounded by these really tall trees. It almost looks like a scene from the Oregon Trail, except for the headphones that they're wearing and the giant movie camera between them. Here's the recording that they made. So what happened? Why did the ivory bill start to disappear? Dr. Jerry Jackson.
The decline of ivory-billed woodpeckers was in large part due to hunting initially.
Jackson says that several Native American groups decorated their pipes with ivory bill heads. And then, in the late 1800s, people started killing all kinds of birds to collect and sell them. And the ivory bill was a prized, rare find.
It was like stamp collecting or baseball card collecting was in the 1950s and 60s and 70s, or Beanie Babies or anything like that.
Then, in the 30s and 40s, logging really took off. Entire forests across the South were decimated, especially during World War II.
We were sending troops overseas, and a lot of people were getting killed. The Army needed more caskets, and they needed a source of wood.
As the forest disappeared, so did the ivory bill. The last confirmed sighting took place in 1944 in northeast Louisiana, on a piece of land logged by the Singer Sewing Machine Company. Within a few years, many people assumed that the ivory bill was extinct. But people just kept seeing it. So in the 1980s, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service did a really big study to decide, once and for all, whether the ivory bill was still out there. Dr. Jerry Jackson was on that team. He says they went on searches across the South, canoeing through swamps and hiking through forests and looking in all the places they thought any remaining ivory bills might be.
And the end result was that we found no proof that there were ivory-billed woodpeckers out there.
But he didn't use the E word.
I said, you know, scientifically, I can't tell you that ivory-billed woodpeckers are extinct. You can prove something exists, but you can't prove that it doesn't exist.
So the rumors continued, and the existence of the ivory bill became increasingly controversial. Mark Michaels.
There are the many people who say, oh, it's like Bigfoot, but unfortunately the vitriol has led to a kind of intimidation factor that leads a lot of people not to want to speak about it.
So for a long time, no one wants to talk about it, until the year 2005, when suddenly everybody is talking about it.
Scientists claim they have spotted a bird long thought to be extinct.
The ivory-billed woodpecker.
Thousands of birdwatchers never gave up searching for what they call the Lord God bird.
2005 is the year the government announced that the ivory bill had been rediscovered in Arkansas, an area known as the Big Woods between Little Rock and Memphis. There had been a secret search for more than a year. There had been multiple sightings, and the government said it was going to spend more than $10 million to help bring the species back. The main evidence? A grainy video shot from a kayak in a swamp. Watching the video, you can see the black and white splotches of the bird flying from a tree in the distance. But that proof wasn't good enough for Richard Prum.
I think there is absolutely no chance that the ivory-billed woodpecker is still alive on the planet today.
Prum is an ornithologist at Yale University. He says he was initially excited to hear that the woodpecker was back. But once he looked at the data, the grainy video, he just didn't think it was strong.
Because extraordinary claims like that require, great evidence.
There's another bird that looks very similar to the ivory bill called the pileated woodpecker, which is still found all over the place. And Prum thinks it was a pileated in the video. He starts working on a paper that's skeptical of the rediscovery. Word gets out that he's working on this paper, and people start taking sides, blogs pop up, and then all the typical internet stuff happens.
I was described as the turd in the punch bowl in one conservation blog by an anonymous blogger.
Of course, the controversy is part of what brought Frank Wiley and Mark Michaels together, the two guys from the beginning of the story. They actually first met on one of those internet blogs, swapped their stories, and then formed a partnership. So let's get back to where this story started. It's 2015. Frank and Mark and I have left the secret forest to go back to Frank's house to check out the footage from the trail camera. Frank fires up his computer, and he plugs in the memory card.
And this is the software that accompanies the camera, and we're fixing to start watching.
Frank and Mark are sitting stiffly in their chairs, giddy but nervous. Frank clicks open the first folder.
We got light. Look at that.
But almost right away, they realize something's wrong. There don't seem to be enough files.
How is that possible?
I don't know. We're missing 3 weeks.
Apparently, the trail cam didn't stop recording when the memory card was full, and it wrote over the first 3 weeks of footage. In the photos that are left, the bark has already been shaved away. So whatever did it, they missed their chance to see it. Mark can't believe it.
This is the kind of thing that makes me want to just give up. It's like so disheartening. We're back to square one.
That incident definitely bummed out Frank and Mark, but they keep at it for a couple more years, sitting, looking, and listening. But still, nothing good. Mark starts to wonder just how much more of this he can take. And then, in 2017, Frank Wiley dies of a sudden heart attack.
I really felt that I had done all that I could, and I knew that there were going to be some other people carrying on, but I really felt that my job was done.
Frank and Mark had been a tag team for years. They'd had the sightings, they'd honed their techniques, but the bird just remained elusive. Mark finds himself on the brink of giving up.
And then everything changed, so...
What changed was he got a really good audio recording. One day, not long after Frank had died, Mark and a few others are out in the woods, sitting and listening. They're running a digital audio recorder, and over the span of a couple of days, get multiple sounds that they think are really promising. Mark gets connected to someone at a bird conservation nonprofit, who then connects him to a researcher at the University of Pittsburgh. More volunteers are joining the team, and then, just like that, with new blood, new interest, and new resources, Mark's excitement is renewed.
Like Mark's face.
We're in a bottomland forest in Louisiana somewhere. I'm not going to say more than that.
I still can't tell you where I am, but this spring I met back up with Mark and about five other people in the same patch of remote Louisiana woods.
Do we know,
you're going to the northern sector?
Do we know
the lab at the University of Pittsburgh has just loaned them a bunch of digital audio recorders. Over the next couple of days, he and the team will strap about 100 of them to the trees in these woods. Eventually, the Pittsburgh lab will analyze the recordings, and the idea is that the sounds they collect will help them hone in on a hotspot, like a nest. And then finally, maybe they can get that definitive photo.
All right.
All right, let's hit it.
After a quick team meeting, they hop into their cars and fan out in opposite directions with a clear sense of mission. Mark tells me he's already listened to some of the first recordings those devices made and that they contain a number of promising sounds. From a secret location somewhere in Louisiana, I'm Travis Lux.